My name is Patricia Kathleen, and this podcast series will contain interviews I conduct with female and female-identified entrepreneurs, founders, co-founders, business owners, and industry gurus. These podcasts speak with women and women-identified individuals across all industries in order to shed light for those just getting into the entrepreneurial game, as well as those deeply embedded within it. Histories, current companies, and lessons learned are explored in the conversations I have with these insightful and talented powerhouses. The series is designed to investigate a female and female-identified perspective in what has largely been a male-dominated industry in the USA to date. I look forward to contributing to the national dialogue about the long overdue change of women in American business arenas, and in particular, entrepreneurial roles. You can contact me via my media company website, wild.agency, that's WILDE.agency, or my personal website, patriciakathleen.com. Thanks for listening. Now let's start the conversation. Hi everyone, and welcome back. This is Patricia, and I am over the moon today to be sitting down with Rosa Adam. She is the founder of Shukur Bella, and I'm going to let her drop in and explain what Shukur Bella is all about, but welcome, Rosa.
Yes, hello everyone.
Thank you.
So Shukur Bella is an Ethiopian-inspired hair and skincare line. I launched it right here in San Diego last August, so in 2018. My mom taught me about an Ethiopian butter that we used back home, and it's been used for centuries, and I decided to play with it in the kitchen and add some other ingredients with it because the main issue was smell, and I decided that, I think I can bottle this up and kind of sell it to the world because it's amazing butter.
Absolutely. And on your website, it talks about like skin and hair.
Yes.
So it sounds like it's incredibly healthy for you.
Yes. So have my mom, if she explains it, she says that it heals everything.
Yeah.
But I told her like I can't put those claims on. Like she says that it's good for your eyes.
Nice.
It's good for like certain stuff that I'm like, mom, those are like medical terms I can't say.
Right.
But ideally it's for your hair and for your skin. They put the butter on their hair, and I'm not sure what you call it, but it's like those hot saunas, but like that come naturally, like a hot spring.
Yes.
So they basically would put the butter on their hair and sit at the hot spring and allow the butter to melt down from their hair on their skin.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would wash the butter off, but
yeah.
It would still like leave a lasting effect for about a week.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it helping all sorts of ailments.
You
know, it's like, there are so many things in nature. Olive oil, you can use your skin, your hair, you can eat it. I think anything that you can kind of consume in all different ways is probably healing for everything. Really quickly, the website that we're going to be talking about today is it's shukurbella.com. And it's Shukur Bella is the name of the company. And a quick roadmap of what we're going to talk about today, I'm going to ask Rosa a little bit about her academic and professional history following any academics. And then we'll dive deeper into what Shukur Bella is all about and who it's for, who it's targeted for, and what stage it's in, when it was launched, and any other particulars about the company as it stands right now. Then we'll go straight into goals for the next 3 years regarding scaling and other things like product implementation and things like that. And we will wrap up the interview with advice that Rosa has for entrepreneurs out there who are in the same boat, a little ahead, a little behind, or in any different area, just wanting to hear her story. So can you tell us a little bit about your academic history and your professional life, like following the academics prior to Shukur Bella?
So prior to Shukur Bella, I was in the food and beverage industry.
Hmm.
I was a bartender, which was very, very interesting. Every day was very interesting. After that, I decided to go to school a little bit later in life.
Mm-hmm.
I attended City College and then ended up transferring to San Diego State and graduating with a business degree.
Nice.
That was in 2016.
I decided to actually jump right into my career, and I started working at a skilled nursing facility as an HR assistant.
Okay.
And corporate life just wasn't for me.
Right.
So I decided to go back to food and beverage and decide to start my own business. And working in food and beverage, it allows you that flexibility of having your own business and working late nights and having the daytime to connect with other businesses. So it was...
There's a lot of customer relations that happen in the food and beverage industry. I think it's like pretty close to, you know, the root of marketing, you know, and business techniques and things like that. It's all very much so built in that industry. I've never heard a pitch like the one in, you know, food and beverage.
Yeah.
It's got a lot, and it's every interaction on every level. It's the corporate all the way down to customer to waiter, bartender, whomever. Yep. It's just constant human client guest relationship conversation.
Yeah.
You know, it really crystallizes. I feel like people who talk about companies, young companies who say, you know, we're going to test users. And I always think, why do you need to? Why don't you just go to a coffee shop and talk to people? And I feel like that's what food and beverage does.
Exactly.
You know, they're getting the immediate feedback and things like that. Do you feel like that kind of played into helping you become an entrepreneur? Just that ability to kind of relate and constantly communicate with people in the food and beverage industry?
I think it has. I consider myself very like kind of closed off, but people always tell me that like, no, you're great in like social scenes. I'm like, I have anxiety. Like, but like, no. And I think it's from being in food and beverage and having to just interact. Like even when you're having a good day or a bad day, you got to at least look like you're having a good day.
Right.
So like just having that personality like has helped me. But usually like in social scenes, I get very like anxious and nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And then like even just with sitting down and just having casual conversation makes me nervous sometimes. But I think really being in food and beverage has helped me to kind of be able to sometimes even approach people like and just talk to them about my product. Like something if I wasn't in food and beverage prior, I would not be able to probably do.
Yeah. So let's get into it. Your mom was kind of the impetus for introducing you to it. How did you first launch Shakur Bella? What gave you the idea? Did you get any seed money? Was it bootstrapped?
Yeah.
How did it all come to be?
So how it first, I could start with, I guess, with the Big Chop. So I probably should explain what the Big Chop is. It's a time when you basically cut off all your damaged hair or chemically processed hair, and you start all over. A lot of women it's a very like big trend right now to like kind of go natural and to wear your natural hair and to like kind of people are shying away from chemicals and treatments or hair styles that like pull your ends or are damaging to your hair, like especially like weaves, and like now they have the lace front where you're putting like glue, like actual glue to your scalp. So I'm sorry.
No, that's good. No, you're kind of going into, you said, let's start off with the Big Chop, but then we're getting into the history of how you launched
there
it
we go.
And things like that. Yeah.
I do this all the time.
No, so, that's great. I love the backstory. So the Big Chop gets into, I'm guessing, what brought it to you.
Yes, I couldn't. So after the Big Chop, I didn't know, like, I couldn't find any products in the market that, like, really worked for my hair texture. So my mom suggested, like, hey, like, we have this butter that we use back home. You know, do you want me to make you some? And I'm like, kind of skeptical about it. And I was like, let's try it. So she makes the butter for me. She forewarns me that it has like a very vicious smell, but there's so many benefits to it. And I'm just like, okay, let's go for it.
Yeah.
And I put the butter in my hair, and it like literally instantly the texture just changed. Mm. And then like as the butter was melting like on my face, like my skin texture, like the next day when I washed my face, was so clear and like very bright. And I was just like this is amazing. I was like, it smelled bad, and like it kind of got everywhere because it was dripping and it was really oily, but just the benefits of it. So then that's like, at that time I was in business school, so I started then. Mm-hmm. And I called it artesian coils at that time. So artesian being handcrafted, and then coils being curls. So like handcrafted curls.
Nice.
And I didn't really do nothing with it. That was more like a research and development. That was in 2014. And I was just basically just playing with it. I would make little samples, bring it to my job. But I wasn't really quite serious about it then. After that, I graduated from school and then decided to try corporate, went back, and then that's when I decided, okay, let's launch Sugar Bella. So that was in 2016 when I just, or not 16, 2018 that I decided to get serious and launch Sugar Bella.
Where did the name come from?
Oh, so the name. So the name actually is kind of two parts. I, an ex-boyfriend used to call me Bella. And then Shukur, or used to call me Shukur and Bella, but at separate times. So Shukur in our country, like, means beautiful, or like a husband or a boyfriend would tell his mate, like, hey, Shukurie, or hey, Shukur. And it's like, hey, sweetheart, basically. Mm-hmm. And then Bella is like meaning the same thing, like beautiful.
And where is your mom from again? We talked about the town that she used the butter. Where was that?
So she's from Ethiopia, but she's from Tigray. So that's
okay. Just getting everything straight.
Yeah.
So the name came from two different very sweet nicknames.
Yeah.
Nice. So I like that.
Beautiful kind of. That's how I kind of look at it. Like, yeah. two ways of saying beautiful.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So you decided to launch it as Shukur Bella, and this is in 2018, so you've made some very serious headway. What was the first thing that you did? Like, did you look at manufacturing? Did you bootstrap it and try to build and package it yourself?
I did everything myself. So from picking the packaging, to the labels, to designing, to creating the actual platform that I even launched. So our launch date was on August 18th, and I did not know, like, how do I come out with a product? Like, how do I let people know about it? So I basically developed the whole expo within 4 months.
Wow. It
went pretty well. We had over 250 attendees. We had like 15 vendors. We had two
Who
sponsors.
Who taught you how to do that? Was that just your own gusto? That's amazing.
Insanity is. Yeah.
I mean, to Google, you know, that kind of an event, I feel like you'd come up with 50 people that you needed to work with you.
Oh, I'm doing it again this year.
That's amazing.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
I plan on next year. I need a team. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
It's just me right now and another person that helps me out. But putting together the event, making sure that, and then it was free to the public. So I didn't charge the public, but I charged for vendor fees. So making sure that all my vendor fees covered my costs for my venue.
Yeah.
And making sure that just, we had enough entertainment, so I had entertainment from 1 to 6. So like getting the entertainment, getting the volunteers aligned. It was a big process. And then especially for me not being an event planner, it sounded really like, okay, just host an event. And I'm the title sponsor, which was me, Sugar Bella, for my own event. And we called it SoCal's Natural Hair and Health Expo. So we incorporated hair and health.
Did it propel you into the industry? Did it take you from kind of anonymity to people recognizing?
Yeah. So I want to say about 80% of my return clients are from the expo, from that actual expo.
So it paid off.
Yeah.
That crazy work.
It was tons of work. But for my product, if I can get people to actually try it, I typically make a sale. So that's something that I learned from the expo too, that like selling online is cool, but I need people to actually physically like try it. And then that's like how I convinced them. So that's why I lately have been trying to get into more actual events and different like festivals that are happening local, so I can kind of communicate directly with my target audience.
So did you take any funding for your seed funding for your initial push of product?
So just bootstrap. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. It's really rare when you've got a product. It's pushing it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you garnered skills at business school to help you along with this, or was it just by like the skin of your teeth? Like,
no,
it was just
I want to say going to state, San Diego State has a pretty good business program. I want to say a lot of it came from that. But my mom did say when I was young that I was like really into reselling stuff. Right. So I'm,
that's
I
great.
Guess it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
But I always knew that I just like with my personality that I kind of like always wanted to be like my own boss.
Right.
Like, so that was ideally the thing. But I think the business school really helped me with figuring out that like, okay, I have these set of skills that they're teaching me. I can go work for a business and apply the skills, or I can really try to apply these skills to my own business. And then I say in like 5 years, if it doesn't work, then I'll join corporate America.
Yeah. I guess. Walk back to corporate.
I'll go join.
Yeah. I don't think that they're going to have the pleasure of your company anytime soon. What are your goals for the next 3 years? What do you picture? How do you picture the next 3 years? Are you going to scale? What yeah. Are you considering different? And also within those goals, are you in stores? If so, like how many? And you talked about online sales. Like yeah. How is that all kind of divvying up for you right now?
So right now, within the next 3 years, we do definitely plan on scaling the business. Within 2020, we are planning on building a sales rep team. Our sales rep team are going to be women. So the sales rep, the program that it's going to be called Fair One. It's going to be for women who are formerly incarcerated, and we basically are going to have like an Avon pay structure. So they'll be like their own boss, and they'll be able to become sales reps and kind of build a career with Shirkwood Bella.
Is it the same as the Lift Up program that's on your website?
So yeah, we changed Lift Up to Fair One.
To Fair One.
There's actually something that already has that name.
Yeah. Hey, stages, you grow. Absolutely.
Yeah, like, oh, wrong name.
I really love this particular program, and I was wondering how you became inspired to do it, because it's the first that I've heard in the startup community. Mm-hmm. I know of a lot of other really established corporate companies that are doing work with, you know, incarcerated individuals, but you're the first person that I've spoken to as a very young entrepreneur with a startup that is directly attaching itself to this kind of giving back mentality. So can you kind of elaborate on that? What inspired you to do it? Why did you pick the incarcerated individuals as your population?
So with the women that are formerly incarcerated, I myself was incarcerated for about 6 years. Mm-hmm. And for me, getting out of jail, coming home with, so they give you $200. They don't really set you up for success.
Right.
And then they give you this list of like potential employers who hire felons, and you go and you fill out all these senseless applications that they literally put you in a pile of like you're not going to get hired. Mm-hmm. And of course they can't let you know that the reason that they're not hiring you is because you have a felony. So it's just kind of like, you know, I don't have a job again. And then for me, after graduating, I really did assume like, okay, I'm going to graduate and I'm going to like get good grades and I'm going to do internships and like I'm going to be able to get whatever job that I want because I paid for my punishment and like I'm rehabilitated now, so I get to like live life. And it wasn't that way. I can't even imagine how many applications I filled out, and I felt that I was qualified for these positions, and mm-hmm. I just wasn't given the opportunity to even test the waters. And I feel like given a chance, like these women, most people go back to prison because they don't have the opportunity to make ends meet.
Right.
So if you're not able to provide for your family, I'm not saying you got to, but the best choice is to, hey, let me do something that I know is illegal, but at least I can like feed my children.
Yeah.
So I feel like just giving these women a chance, giving them the skill sets to get out, to even just an opportunity. Like that's all I ever wanted was like, and then Lift Up, that was the original name, was because like it wasn't like a handout. I didn't want to like, I wanted to us to be able to lift each other up.
Yeah.
So like when I got out, luckily I had like a very strong support system. My family has, I have a small family, but like been amazing and very supportive, but everyone doesn't have that.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to work for a little while. I know people get out, like they need to be working right away.
Right.
So that was really the inspiration of making the program.
And then you said you structured it around the Avon pay structure, which I love.
Yeah.
I think that's a really fantastic business model. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that for people in the audience that don't know what that is?
So with Avon, you're basically your own boss. You make your own hours. There's no commitment. You make the purchases. You go and you sell the product, and you give me your sheet of inventory, and I supply the product for you. So they don't have an overhead. They're not sitting there storing products at their house. Right. They'll have an outline of exactly kind of what to say, how to pitch products. And then as far as pay structure, the more that they sell, the more that they want to get into it, the more that they're able to make. And again, the biggest thing is that they don't have to put like a big down payment on products or anything like that. I think with Mary Kay, you got to pay like $300 or $400 for like their initial package.
Yeah.
With Avon, it's like $30. Mm-hmm. It's just a few things, like really printed material and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really accessible. Yeah. I like that model a lot because of that.
Yeah.
As opposed to some of the other like independent sales companies. So you are getting ready to put this Fair One into play soon?
Yes.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
That's going to be I think it's really going to give a different note or an additional note to, you know, what is already like a really cool sounding company.
Yeah, thank you.
So with I guess a lot of times when I talk to companies that have manufacturing, I'm wondering if you've looked forward when you look at scaling and things like that. Like, these are champagne problems, but let's just go there. So what if you have an onslaught of sales and things like that? Have you played around with the idea of how you're going to meet that manufacturing need, or is that something that you'll base later on?
No, so I've actually, I've already started talking to some local manufacturers that kind of like are keyed in on like the holistic practices.
Right.
Ideally, I would like to in-house manufacture, but if it gets to too big of a scale, I think it would be just ideal to outsource my manufacturing.
Yeah.
But then another option is kind of getting a small little space out here and kind of maybe getting some equipment and just building a little factory for myself, because the process is not like a crazy like I'm not making eye serum or anything
right.
like that. So it's all natural. So there's two routes: I can outsource or I can build my own manufacturing plant.
Well, I mean, and when you're kind of, you know, playing around with all of your options and things like that at this stage, which is it's actually kind of fun and cool to do. Do you have mentors that you kind of reach into that advise you as to what areas, you know, at the very least, you know, the pitfalls or peaks that could be associated with either area? Like, do you lean on anybody? Has anyone shown you the ropes?
So not really, but I did get a mentor here since joining the Connect All program.
Mm-hmm.
They gave us a mentor right in the beginning, which was super awesome. I did need, but I guess for me is that I don't know how to ask for someone to be my mentor. Like, I don't know how that relationship started. Like, hey, can you advise me on just certain stuff? All right.
Sure.
Again, I kind of like, I will just go learn the information myself type.
Yeah.
And then I got to kind of get out of that too. Like, instead of asking for help, I just was like, oh, you know what? Let me just learn the whole entire thing.
I know. Let me just throw my entire expo. I mean, yeah, that's a lot of work to not ask for help. I like it. I mean, it's amazing. It means, you know, you've got the stuff to make it sail, but it is interesting. I mean, you are a powerhouse. Do you have any other partners, or is it just you?
So I have a partner. Her name is Trilly Ann Johnson. She's been with me from the beginning, as far as the beginning of the expo. We are currently moving towards kind of maybe legalizing her as an actual partner.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we're working that out right now. She's been such a blessing. About a month ago, I was kind of like really sick. So I have an RA condition. It's very rare. It's Behçet's syndrome. So lucky. and I was really sick. And she just took initiative to like make flyers, go visit local salons and barbershops,
nice.
And just kind of talk to the community about the event. And that kind of showed me, like, you know what, I could actually see you being like my legit partner.
Yeah.
But right now it's just a sole prop and it's just me.
Do you, where is your stuff? It's available online, and then do you have it placed in boutique stores or hair salons or anywhere else?
So I have it in one barbershop, Freshly Faded, and that's the only barbershop that I've went in. So I have this anxiety thing. Mm-hmm. And that's what Alex, the director here at the program, has been trying to get me to come over, is just go into the salons and talk to them. And I'm like, I know, but I just want to increase my online sales. Yeah.
Safety behind the computer screen.
And he's like, just do it. And so the goal is, before the end of the program, that I told myself that I wanted to get into 20 salons, barbershops, or spas in San Diego.
You got that. No problem. Absolutely. It's an amazing product, and capable of. I think that once you break down the phobia of sales, you'll think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's exactly. It's
you've done so much harder in all of your history. It's amazing, though, that we do that to ourselves as human beings, because I can think of a couple of small tasks in my life that I avoid like the plague. And I'm capable of building an entire industry instead of doing those things. You know, ascribe power to the smallest things.
It is. Yeah.
And it's amazing. So if you ran into a woman or a female identified individual who had kind of this interesting background of business school and some trouble in her life, and she was just saying to herself, I don't like corporate. I've got this idea for a startup. What are the top three pieces of advice that you would give her right now?
That's a very good one. So top three advice I would say is do it now. Whatever it is that you're like postponing, or whatever it is that you're trying to make super perfect, or just do it. Just whatever it is, go forward and just do it. Because I have that thing of waiting and trying to make everything perfectly. And I know certain stuff, you just got to do it and see the outcome, and then you're able to change and make whatever adjustments that you need to. I would say reaching out for help for number two.
Nice.
Definitely very, very important to reach out for help when you need it, because everything, you can't wear every hat. It's nice to feel like you have a sense of control of what's going on, and maybe having a little bit of information, so you're kind of like not blindsided about what might be going on, but just like, you don't have to be an expert in every area.
Right.
Let's see, and number three, I would say is enjoy the process. Like, stop stressing. Sometimes throughout the day, like, I kind of stress, I'm not having enough time, or like not feeling like I did enough today, and kind of beating myself up and like, oh God, like it's almost nighttime and I should have done already like X, Y, and Z. Just enjoying the process of getting to whatever you believe success is, just having fun in it.
Yeah, I love that. That's really great. So you have do it now, reaching out for help when you need it, and enjoy the process.
Yeah.
Those are three key pieces to live by, I think, for every entrepreneur. You heard it here. Rosa Adam has you covered.
Oh, thank you.
So we've reached the end of the podcast, and I just wanted to say, I know that everyone is busy, but I feel like entrepreneurs take busy to another definition and level. And I want to thank you so much for sharing your story and your company and your time with me for the past half an hour. It's been brief. I could have kept you here for 6 hours. So I feel like I've given you that gift of 5.5 hours back. But thank you so much for giving me your time today, Rose. I really appreciate it. And for everyone listening, one more time, it's Shakoor Bella. The website is www.shukorbella.com. You should jump on, buy some. I'm going to. It sounds fantastic.
Awesome.
Thank you so much. And for everyone listening, thanks for giving me your ear. And until next time, remember to always bet on yourself. Sláinte.